Oh, we worship. Father God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you worship. We honor you. We tell you thanks for who you are. We thank you for the blessings that you have already received in this service. We thank you that you're alive and well. And even if we are not well, we are in our right minds. Hallelujah. We bless your name and worship you. Lord God, at this time we pray you'll just prepare hearts. You'll prepare hearts, you will anoint ears, Almighty God, and you will take me out of myself. Let me reduce and you increase, and you will anoint the ears and the hearts of your people, and they'll receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, brothers and sisters, and thank you, Sister Bernice, for your introduction. I greet Pastor Henry, Pastor and Sister Fiani, and I'm not sure if Pastor and Sister Daly are on the platform. I greet all the saints of the Apostolic Church in America.
Bless the Lord.
I want to admit a privilege, an absolute privilege, to be able to share God's word with his people.
Hallelujah.
In the scripture that was read in 1 Samuel 7:7-12, the Bible said the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, so they decided to attack them. When the Israelites heard of that, they were afraid. A little background. Earlier in the book, the Philistine had defeated the Israelites twice. In chapter 4, verse 2, it said 4,000 men were defeated. And further down in the chapter, verse 4, the Bible says there was a great slaughter. 30,000 men were killed. So the Israelites had those defeats at the front of their minds. Even though they had experienced God's miracles in the past, all the plagues in Egypt, parting of the Red Sea, being miraculously fed with manna from heaven, water from the rock, they had seen all that. But their focus now was on the fact that they were again facing the Philistines, having been defeated on two previous times. The Bible said they were afraid. But verse 8, 12 reads, so they went to Samuel and said, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Let us not miss this, brothers and sisters. Samuel cried to the Lord, and he answered him. God will answer us if we sincerely cry out to him. Hallelujah. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let us make crying out to God our first response and not our first result. We do not have to go to a prophet or a pastor to ask him to cry out to the Lord for us. Hallelujah. We do not need an appointment. Hallelujah. We have unrestricted access. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have unrestricted access to God. We can call on him anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Gezer. The NIV version says, the men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Today, I would like to share a few thoughts on the topic, raising Ebenezers. The word Ebenezer is translated as stone of help. This stone is not a pebble or a small stone that can be easily overlooked. No, it was a boulder that couldn't be missed. Samuel was not just grateful for what the Lord did. He wanted to make sure it was not forgotten. Hallelujah. So he raised a stone, not a little stone. The exact size is not mentioned, but it is believed to be a large stone that could not be missed. He used something physical that the Israelites could see so that they will never forget the victory wrought. He didn't want to rely on just memory. He wanted to establish a permanent reminder of God's faithfulness, a recognition of divine help, a public acknowledgement of God's intervention that wrought the victory. Hallelujah. As humans, we tend to forget things, especially as we get older. Sometimes we write it down so we will not forget, but then we forget where we write it down. But Samuel wanted to make sure the Israelites couldn't forget. When the Lord does anything for us, we are usually grateful in the moment or for a time or until something bad happens. When we switch our focus of what God did for us and fill our minds with the negative that is happening at the time. But what if we had a physical reminder of God's faithfulness? Something which could serve to refocus us. There's a well-known hymn entitled, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." The second verse reads, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hitherto by thy help have come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. I sang this song lustily. I enjoyed it, but never knew what Ebenezer meant until now." The writer Robert Robinson, at age 22, wrote this song. The story is that his father died when he was very young, and without a father to guide him, he fell into bad company. He ended up into gangs doing all manner of evil. But then he went to listen to a Methodist preacher, and the words of that preacher remained with him until he surrendered to Christ. At that young age, he recognized that it was God who rescued him from that destructive path that he was on. So he pegged the song. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hitherto by thy help have come." He didn't want to forget what God had done for him. He didn't want to forget that God had saved him. Some of us have been saved for so many, many years, we can't even remember when or where or how. While some do remember, but how often do we reflect on that day? The songwriter Robert Robinson continued, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
"Really, I'm constrained to be."
Yes.
"Let the goodness like a fetter."
Yes.
"Bind wandering heart to thee."
Yes.
"Prone to wander." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"Let thy feet." "Prone to leave the God I love." "But, oh, take and seal it. Seal
yes.
it for thy throne that courts above."
Bless
he
God.
Said, "Oh, grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained, I'm compelled to be."
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that is my daily testimony.
Yes.
"Oh, to God's grace, I'm indeed a debtor. I thank God daily for his grace." Samuel set up an Ebenezer as a memorial so that the children of Israel could not forget God's faithfulness. The Bible contains several other moments where God instructed his people to set up memorials, physical or ritual markers, to remember his faithfulness, deliverance, and covenant. These memorials are teaching tools for future generations and reminders of divine encounters. Hallelujah. For example, in Joshua 4, 1-9, after crossing the miraculous, crossing of Jordan, God told Joshua to have one man from each tribe take a stone from the riverbed and set them up as a memorial. These stones were to remind Israel of how the Lord stopped the river so that they could enter the promised land. In another instance, in Genesis 28:10-22, after his dream of the ladder reaching heaven, Jacob set up a stone and poured oil on it, marking the place where God spoke to him. He named Bethel and vowed to worship the Lord there. The Lord's Supper was also established as a memorial of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. So my encouragement to us today is to raise Ebenezer, set memorials, and not just set them, but reflect and revisit them so we remember. We remember God's faithfulness. Yes, if we take time to set on our life journey, we will realize how tremendously faithful God has been to us. A little over a month ago, I celebrated a birthday and decided to check my birthday in days instead of years. While I will not tell you the figure, I can tell you that my heart was filled to the overflowing when I think of how God has been faithful to me for so long. For so many days. You see, we live one day at a time. And if you're over 50, you would have lived over 18,250 days. If you're over 60, you would have lived over 21,900 days. If you're over 70, you would have lived over 25,550 days. If you're over 80, you would have lived over 29,200 days. And if you're blessed over 90, you would have lived over 32,850 days. Brothers and sisters, look at the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful. God is, and he continues to be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Just visualize for a moment. If we even had a pebble, not a big stone, a pebble in our home for every day that we have lived so far, would we have room? If we had a pebble for every day that we have lived, would we have room? Memorials not only remind us of God's faithfulness, they remind us of his power. Power to change our circumstances. Power to change hearts. Power to change our lives. Yes. Let us cultivate a lifestyle of normalizing the raising of Ebenezer, the setting of memorials, and frequent visitation and reflection on such memorials.
Yes.
Such reflection evokes gratitude in our hearts. When we think of what God has done, we cannot help but being grateful. The songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me.
Yes.
That should get us through any difficult situation. As you shift your focus, remembering God's help in the past and staying in hope for the future, knowing that all things, not some, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So irrespective of how bad our current situation is, when we reflect on what he has done in the past, and when we reflect on his track record, hallelujah, we can say like the songwriter, I am persuaded that God will come through. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'll never doubt him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll only trust him. He specializes in things thought impossible. I am persuaded that God will see me through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to be careful not to allow what we are going through to make us forget what God has brought us through. Blessed be his holy. Setting memorials remind us that we couldn't achieve anything without God's help. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, my friends, whatever we achieve in this life, it's with the help of the Lord. But you may say, I have to work hard for what I have. Sure you do. But who gave you the strength? Deuteronomy 8:18 reminds us. It says, it is God who gives power to get wealth. As I said, we need to be intentional about raising our Ebenezer so we do not forget what God has done for us. The psalmist encourages us to remember. Psalm 105:5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And he declares in Psalm 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another reason why it is important to set memorials and Ebenezer so we can remember, the Lord warns against forgetting. Deuteronomy 8:11-14 reads, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This was a warning to the children of Israel, but it applies to us today. God blesses many people today who doesn't even acknowledge him. Or if they do, they pay lip service to him. He says, beware. Beware when you have gotten the job that you always wanted. When you get the new house and the new car, the husband and the wife, or whatever your heart is set on, beware that we do not forget the Lord. We need to be intentional about not forgetting. Not only should we be intentional about not forgetting God's goodness and faithfulness, we must tell others what the Lord has done for us. Hallelujah. The psalmist says in Psalm 66:16, come and listen, all who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Psalm 9:1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. We need to tell others that it is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for us, he will do for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
When Joshua told the Israelites to set up the stones, he also said that it may be a sign that when their children ask what the stones mean, they could tell them. This is what it means. Joshua 4:6-7. When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. That's another reason to set memorials. We need to tell the next generation what God has done for us. Amen? Psalm 145:4 tells us, one generation shall praise thy works to another. The NLT version says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel crossed over Jordan, it was the Lord who gave Joshua the instruction to tell the people to set up the stones. It is therefore important to the Lord that we tell the next generation what he has done. Not because he's a compliment seeker or he needs external validation, but that the next generation can trust him too. They can develop their own relationship with God. They can have their own encounter with him. You see? When they have their own encounters with the Lord, then they cannot deny him. This is how the songwriter Crystal Lewis puts it. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with mine eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you. I keep my trust in you. Hallelujah. Let the whole world say what they may. No one can take this joy away. Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. When you have your own experience and your own encounter, no one can tell you, irrespective of what they say, you know that you know that you know that God came through for you. You know that you know you had your own experience with God. You know that you know that you had your own encounter with God. Hallelujah. Let the whole world say what they say. Hallelujah. Nothing can take this joy away. Nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, my friend. We need the next generation to know the Lord for themselves. So we must be intentional about letting the next generation know what God has done. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, one of the saddest scriptures I believe in is found in Judges 2:10. And it reads, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, that means when they died, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. I believe it is an indictment on us if we fail to tell the next generation of the faithfulness, the goodness, and the power of Almighty God. It is an indictment on us. We need to tell the next generation about God's saving grace. And not that he saves us, but he keeps us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I therefore encourage our senior believers to engage the young and share your Ebenezers with them. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. Let them know, if it had not been for the Lord, that side, you do not know where you would have been. My mother always said, she often roll back the curtain and see where God has taken her from and look where she could have been before she got sick. She always sing that song. Well, we can't really sing. But she always said, roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you have taken me from and where I could have been. Humans forget, so remind us, Lord. Remind us where you take us from. If you're a young person in the hearing of my voice, and or even if you're not so young and your parents or senior relatives are alive, I beseech you to be intentional about using time to spend with them. I say you cannot make time, because we can't make time. Time is given to us. We all have the same 24 hours, 1,440 minutes in every day. Everybody get the same amount. What we do with our time reflects our value system and our priorities. So I encourage you to spend time with senior people so you can hear their stories, which will encourage you and strengthen you and build you up. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us set up our Ebenezers so that we will remember. We will not forget. So, Sister Francis, are you saying we should set up some big stone when God does something for us? Well, not exactly. But if you can, that would be good. I know some people have some big backyard and space that they could. I remember once I went to the beach in the country and I saw some lovely stones. So I picked up some nice big ones. At that time, I was thinking I would just put them where I could see them to remind me that Jesus is my rock. What I'm saying is, let's be intentional about creating memorials so we never forget the faithfulness of God. And we will not miss an opportunity to tell others what He has done. Hallelujah. Practically, what does that look like? We could maintain a journal in which we write down the instances when we know that we could not make it without the Lord. We could write down answers to prayers that we have prayed. We have prayed many things and we have gotten the answers. Why don't we write it down and date it? And even answers to thoughts that we dared not pray because it seemed so impossible. I am here to declare from experience that we serve a God who answers deep longings that we never uttered.
Amen.
I am here to declare that God can answer even unanswered prayers. He goes deep down. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. Things we thought impossible or impractical, or unlikely to happen, God can bring it about.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, I have proven Isaiah 42:19 to be true. He can make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. Yes, my brothers and sisters, He can make a way. Yes. When there seems to be no way. He is miracle working God. I think our greatest failure is our inability to articulate properly the vast power and greatness and goodness of God.
Yes.
The songwriter said, had I 1,000 songs to sing, that could not even be enough. We cannot articulate enough the power and the goodness and the faithfulness of our great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name, Jesus. We bless the name. We bless the Lord. May the name stay in that journalist who's strong church for you. You could simply write a note of God's help and date it and drop it in a box. You know, first time they used to have this promise box that you pull out a promise. You could have a little box and drop dates and took times when God came through. And every now and again, you could just take out a slip and read it. Ever so often, you could do that. When I started to prepare this message, I got a little notebook and I just wrote down some moments. You know, and just slipped it in my Bible. That way, I'm sure to see it. Or your memorial, if you can sing. Whether you can sing or not, because when you sing to the Lord, by the time it reaches up there, it is melodious. So whether you can sing or not, Kurt Carr wrote, "I almost let go. I felt like I couldn't take life anymore. My problems got me down. Depression weighed me down, but God held me close so I wouldn't let go. God's mercy kept me so I wouldn't let go." You know, this month is Suicide Awareness Month, and I am amazed at the young people. I was watching the news in Jamaica, and a youngster, maybe 11 or 12, took his life recently. And another young lady in her early 20s took her life as well. Beautiful young lady. She actually entered up a beauty pageant. And I'm like, at what could have possessed these young people? But we don't know what is happening in the mind. And I'm sure some people today can say, God kept me. God kept me. So I'm here today because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of his grace. He kept me. God kept me. Hallelujah. One of the most popular way today is to take a picture. A picture of a place where God came through for you, or something to remind you of a special time God came through for you. Young people can do all of this, and they can even create an Ebenezer folder on their phone and store the pictures there. In this era, we take pictures of everything. We take pictures of a meal. We take pictures anywhere we are going. We take pictures. The internet says approximately 5.3 billion photos are taken daily because of smartphone. Everybody has smartphone and everybody takes pictures. Some of us have hundreds of pictures on our phone. The older ones, they probably have albums, and maybe those photos now turn brown and they are faded. Why don't we take a trip down memory lane and see how far God has brought us from? Mm-hmm. And as I close, you don't have any phone? You can set up any memorial before it is too late to start. Anything. Sit still for a moment. Or lie when you're going to bed and reflect as far back as you can remember. Remember the different seasons in your life and how God came through for you. Psalm 6:7 says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches," hallelujah, "because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Let us meditate upon the goodness of the Lord when we are going to bed. We may not have all these memorials set up before, but we can now meditate on them. As we get older and face the challenges that come with getting older, we may be losing our strength, losing mobility, losing independence. Let us choose to reflect on the multitude of blessings we have enjoyed. Some of which are a dream to many. Let us not be the one who complain that I can no longer do this, but we rejoice that we had the opportunity to do it. One writer says, "Instead of crying that it's over, I'm going to smile that it happened." Let us choose to rejoice of what we had and not what we have lost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us raise our Ebenezer. Let us hold our stories, our songs, our signs, or a slip of paper, so that every time we see them, we will remember God's faithfulness. We will remember past victories. We will find strength and courage to go on. We will remember that Jesus is our rock. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord our God is an everlasting rock. A rock symbolizes strength. It symbolizes ability. It symbolizes refuge and faithfulness. Not only is he our rock, but he is our help. Psalm 121 encourages us to look to the hills from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 41 says, remind us that God is our refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. My encouragement to us today is let us be intentional about raising Ebenezer, setting memorials, and reflecting on them so that we will remember. Thus far has the Lord helped us. The Lord bless you.